Podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Phil, and with me today, I got Paul Bronski. Paul, how you doing?
How you doing, Phil? Glad to be here.
I'm doing all right. You've been on before. Don't say glad to meet me. Come on.
I'm glad to be on again.
Yes. So I know we were talking a little bit off camera, you know, off the video here, the audio, and you know, about the Mets' moves in this offseason. And I wanted to get you on the air, and we could talk about it and debate it a little bit. So.
Well, I like the Nimmo move because I think Nimmo is a horrible outfielder. He's a horrible base runner. And I don't think he's that clutch of a hitter. I mean, he had 90 RBIs, but I think 30 of them came against the Nationals. And he had 10 in one game against the Nationals. He feasts on the weak pitching, and he strikes out in the clutch a lot. I mean, he strikes out 160 to 180 times a year. Well, you got a gold glove second baseman. You got a gold glove second baseman that has hit 45 homers in his career. You know, he finishes in the top 10 in MVP a couple of times. He had an off year last year, but he was hurt, and I think he'll bounce back. And, you know, I think you'll get 20 homers and 75 RBIs out of him with a 270 batting average and a lot more contact and a lot better base running, you know?
So my thing is, I look at it this way. We're already in trouble, right? There's rumors that Alonso's going to Boston, right? He's got a contract offer. Again, you never know because you know, it's Scott Boras, right? So you never know. But you lose Alonso's offense, you lose Nimmo's offense, and you might think that it was an off year. The guy's 36 years old, and as you get older, you know, it starts to you know, come against you, right? You're not as good as you used to be. So,
well, they did a stat on his foot speed mm-hmm. and his hard hit rate, and it's still there, you know?
Right.
He don't strike out that much, and he won a gold glove last year.
I totally get it. I'm all for the gold glove. I understand that point of view. But
you know, you see, if you look at it, if you're not really replacing Nimmo with Simeon, they're going to go out and get either Bellinger or Tucker to play left field, and maybe they get Buxton in a trade to play center. So now you're replacing Nimmo with a real left fielder.
All right. That's to be seen. Like, there's other teams that are looking for those players,
You think they're going to go get a guy in the minor leagues and play left field?
Well, Simeon.
McNeil? You think you're going to put McNeil out there?
Well, you know, there's a cost, right? You don't know if you're going to get these other players. The Yankees are looking at both those players. The Dodgers are looking at how the Dodgers are. I don't have any idea, but they're looking at those players. Right. The Phillies are looking at those players because they're looking to let go of
Schwarber. They're going to get somebody. They're going to get somebody good for left field.
But they're talking also about Robert, the guy in Chicago who's not that good anymore.
No, I don't want that guy.
Right. So this is my point. We had a hitter in left field.
Did you watch him play left field?
But
he skips around like Peter Pan out there.
You're right.
And if there's a man on second base, he's scoring. He stands on the warning track. He gives up. I mean, what he gives up on defense, I don't even think his offense makes up for it.
I don't agree with that, Paul. The guy, I mean, there's 20-something home runs, 92 RBIs, 13 stolen bases. He hit 30 points higher than this guy. This guy could be at the end of his career. It could be like when the Mets got Joe Foy or when they got Jim Ferozzi.
In 2024, he had 180 hits. He had an off year last year.
In 2023, he was bad also.
Yeah, but injuries, you know.
No, the first year he went to Texas, he was bad. The contract
Nimmo never hit 45 homers in his career, and Nimmo's never hit above 265, 270 maybe.
He used to walk a lot more. They moved him into the power spot of the lineup, right? And now he doesn't walk as much as he used
to. Listen, they have to replace. They got to replace him with a decent left fielder, you know, and I don't want Beta. You know, I don't want to replace him with Beta. You know,
well, that's my that's point.
That's 17. That's like a, he's like a backup guy. He's a good center fielder, good out, good glove, but he's not enough offense. You know,
if you wanted to trade Nimmo, right? I don't have a problem with that. If you bring back a pitcher, like we need pitching.
They're gonna get. I heard rumors today. They're in on the Japanese guy. They're in on him too.
So you know,
they might want to trade.
Who knows with those guys? Who knows? I mean,
the twins love that guy Tong. They love him, and they want him. They might want to trade Ryan, which is a number one. He's a number one. That guy.
Ryan's very good. Ryan's very good.
And they love Tong. So, you know, Mets fans don't want to trade any top prospect, but if you want to get a guy like Ryan, you got to give up Tong.
I absolutely agree.
They want Tong and Sproat for him, you know?
I think that what I heard, though, was the other guy was going to be included also, Buxton.
But then I think they're also, what's his name's available, too, on the Mets, Ventos, because I think they're going to let Beatty play third base every day now. So say Alonso signs with Boston and you replace him with Schwarber, and then you go out and get a decent fielding.
Schwarber's another fielding old first guy. Baseman that can hit. Paul, Schwarber's another old guy. I don't want to get older. I want to get younger.
But Alonso's getting older too.
And he's 30 years old. Schwarber's 36 or 37.
Well, you got to really fight. If Alonso leaves, who are you going to replace him with?
My point exactly. So I want to sign Alonso. I want to bring back Diaz. I love Devin Williams.
The Williams move is a good move, only if they get Diaz.
Absolutely correct.
If they let Diaz go, this is not a good move, Phil. I mean, he was an elite closer with Milwaukee in 2024. But last year with the Yankees, 4.79 ERA. I don't trust him in New York to be as a setup guy.
Him as our closer. Couple things. I don't know if you saw this on this, but there's a stat like it's like the ERA plus or whatever like that.
Yes,
he was 2 points lower. He was it was much lower ERA plus. Also, after August, his ERA was 2.06.
Right. Look, so I know he's a good pitch. He's got a great changeup. I think he's going to be good. And you know what? He could go back to being an elite closer. But wouldn't it be nice to have both these guys?
I think we need both those guys. That's the thing.
Yeah. So, and listen, how many times last year was Diaz not available because he already pitched 2 days in a row?
Because he had to.
Right, and he wasn't available the third day, and you had nobody. Isn't it nice to have a guy when Diaz ain't available be able to step in?
But Paul, it's not that they had nobody, and I'm going to give you some credit here, even though I got something against what you also. The Mets went into the season with a bunch of guys that were not going to finish the season, right? Yep. Think about it. They pitched 90 innings, 75 innings, 102 innings. They're not finishing the season. Right, because the number and they have a cap. I don't know the percentage anymore.
Minta getting hurt was bad too He's a good, right? He's a good pitcher. He got hurt in April.
Into June, they had the best ERA in baseball. Into June,
yep.
The arms got tired and they fell apart. Now they,
nobody. I mean, they were averaging 5 innings a game. You had to have 6 guys pitch every day.
Well, that's my point, right?
Yeah, the guy Garrett was good for a long time, and he got burnt out, you know.
Right. So Adam Ottavino came out and said that the Mets, the manager blew the bullpen, didn't have a manager bullpen. I don't think it was that. I think he didn't have the pieces in the starting rotation.
I don't think Mendoza's great at managing the bullpen. But what's he supposed to do when all of his starters go 4-5 innings? I mean, they weren't even going 6 innings.
And here's the catch.
You got 4 innings out of them sometimes.
Here's the catch, Paul. I'm okay with trading Nimmo if you brought back a starting pitcher, right? You want to trade Nimmo, I'm all for it if you brought back a starting pitcher. Let's say in the Joe Ryan trade, which I'm using that because off the top of my head, I can't think of another pitcher. Right. But let's say Joe Ryan.
How about the guy Scooble on Detroit?
All right, let's say Scooble, right? they need to get back an offensive player, and you have Nimmo. Now you don't have Nimmo. We right. had infielders. We didn't need another infielder. I get it. He's a gold glover. I
don't think they're keeping McNeil either. I think they're going to trade McNeil. I think they're going to try to make
Nimmo's more than McNeil. He's got more value than McNeil.
Who's got more value than McNeil?
Nimmo.
Yeah, but I don't think you said you had too many infielders. I think they're going to get rid of McNeil, you know, and they're going to trade him too, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Once again,
and they're probably going to make Acuna go in the outfield. You know, right. Where's he going to play Acuna? He's either trade bait or they're going to make him an outfielder because he ain't going to play second now. He ain't playing short, you know, and he's not going to play third either. So what's he going to just be on the team as a pinch runner?
But Paul, you could have put
and to give Simeon a day off once a week.
Yeah,
you know?
But Paul, you could have put Nimmo in the DH spot. Right now, we don't have Alonso. So I know people are saying Alonso's going to go to DH, but we don't know that.
Alonso is too full of himself to go to DH. Yeah.
He has said he'll do it.
He ain't going to DH for two more years, I'm telling you.
Well, okay. So then Nimmo could have played DH. Like, that's my point. You know, we lost too much offense in this deal.
You know what it is? They had to break up this core because they ain't winning with it, and Nimmo's part of it. So is McNeil.
But how do you say they ain't winning? There were two wins from making the World Series 2 years ago.
Yeah, but they didn't get there.
They didn't get there because once again their arms got tired.
Yeah, but I mean, Nimmo, how much does Nimmo contribute? I mean, I don't know.
26 home runs and 92 RBIs, .264 batting average. Yeah, and you 13 know, stolen you could, bases.
You could get 92 RBIs. You get a lot of meaningless RBIs. I mean, how many RBIs are those tack-on runs when the Mets are winning by 10 runs? How many clutch RBIs? I like to see how many clutch RBIs he gets because when I watch Nimmo in the clutch, I see him strike out. That's what I'm 9 out of 10 times he strikes out
a lot.
Right? In the clutch.
He's struck out 160 times, but he's more than 140 every year. More than 140 area, which is still a lot, but not in today's day and age. You know, baseball is so different now.
Schwarber strikes out 200 times a year.
You know, baseball is so different today than it was back when we were growing up.
Yep.
I mean, now they don't care about strikeouts.
They used to make fun of my boy Kingman for striking out. If you look at how much Kingman strikes out compared to the guys today, he's a contact hitter. He was striking out 130, 140 a year. That's it. He never struck out 180. Never. You know what I mean? These guys today are striking out one. Even Judge, the Judge hits .340, but he strikes out 180. You know?
Yeah.
And the guy's hitting .340, so you can't really say nothing, but he's still striking out 180 times a year.
No, but Kingman was striking out that when people were not striking out over 100 times.
No, he wasn't. He never struck out 180.
No, I never said he did. He was actually like Nimmo, 140, 130.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And so was Reggie Jackson, Mike Schmidt. So was all of them.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that was just the power hitters. Now they all do it. You know, Nimmo's a 20 home run guy striking out 140. You know, back in the day, you know, guys that hit 300 hitters and stuff, they struck out 40, 50 times a year. You know, they weren't, you know, everybody strikes out 100 times now. Even a guy that hits 10 homers a year strikes out 100 times.
So listen, Nimmo was not a home run hitter when he came up, right?
He was an on-base percentage guy with like 15 home run power, and he had the 400 on base. He was very good working the counts. He used to have three balls every time a bat, and then he switched, you know?
Well, they switched because they moved him out of the leadoff spot, right?
Yeah.
And part of that he wasn't stealing bases.
The guy was
right?
on base at a 400 clip and stealing three bases a year. He said he was afraid to steal.
Well,
now
he got 15 2 years ago, and last year he had 13.
Yeah, but come on. So if Soto could steal 30 bases and he's half the speed of him, Nimmo's got to steal 30, 40
But he also
bases.
Played with plantar fasciitis for 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard to run with that.
That's why I'm glad he's gone.
Well,
I'm not going to miss him.
I'm not loving it unless they bring in somebody else, right?
If they put Tucker or Bellinger in left field, you really going to miss Nimmo?
No, I get it. But if we don't get those guys, the drop off after those two is very big.
They'll get somebody.
Oh, yeah, they'll get somebody. But the drop-off after those two was very
I'd like to get Buxton for center field. He's a 35. He hits 35 homers, knocks in 90, and plays gold glove outfield.
Yeah, but except he's been hurt for years.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the problems that with Minnesota.
Yeah, that's a scary thing,
right?
Too. Yeah.
Listen, there's a lot to go on. There's a couple of Japanese guys that are talking about. I think it's Imada or something like that. It's supposedly better than, not as good as Yamamoto, but
no, they're predicting this guy like a three, maybe a two, but he's going to get paid number one money. He's going to get over $100 million if they get him,
which is crazy.
It is, but we all, Cohen's got more money. It doesn't matter to him. He's the richest owner in all of baseball. He's like $60 billion richer than anybody.
$50 million last year. You think he wants to lose $350 million a year?
He's building that casino. He'll make it back. He'll be fine.
Okay. That's one of the things I disagree with a lot of people is I think that the baseball operations is one P&L. The casino will be a separate P&L, right? You can't combine them.
He's still got money.
Oh, no, he's got money, without a doubt. I'm not saying he didn't have money, but nobody wants to lose $350 million a year. Nobody.
Well, he's gonna spend this year. That's what they said. Stern says he says the sky's the limit. That's what he said. So we'll see.
That's to be seen.
Meetings, 3 days, Phil.
I know you were saying that Stearns is running the team like a middle market.
That's what he's doing. That's what. Well, listen, all those bargain basement guys he picked up last year. You know, all these pitches that he got. That guy Montas, what a waste that guy was. $17 million to pitch three games.
Right, with that Severino.
Him. Yeah. Severino wanted to come back.
Yeah, they didn't want to give him the third year. That was the problem. And that's the thing.
And the hold up with Diaz is the Mets offered him 4 years. He wants five.
Give
him the 5 years, even if he sucks in the fifth year and you get three great years out of him, you got to sacrifice those last 2 years to go for it now.
So
in year three or four, he becomes a seventh inning guy. Who cares?
Cohen said within 5 years, he's winning the World Series. Well, 5 years has come and gone. Well, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen yet.
Well, it didn't happen. 5 years has come and gone. Now he's in year six, okay?
Yep.
You want to say the first year or two was just a learning phase, maybe, you know. Like, I feel like he wants to win, like, in the next year or two.
Listen, not even making the playoffs last year and then losing. All you had to do is beat the Marlins and you're in the playoffs and you can't do that.
The Marlins were good. They were one of the best teams in baseball the second half of the year.
Doesn't matter, man. All you had to do is win. Then they lost two out of three to the Nationals down the stretch, too.
Paul, you've been through it. This wasn't even the worst. The worst was it 2012 or whatever it was, 17?
No, when they had the seven game lead with 17 to play against Philly.
Yeah, and they lost by losing to the Marlins.
Yep, same thing. Yeah, that was when what's his name, Glavin, gave up 10 runs in the first inning.
Yeah, the game was over.
typical.
Listen. We got Mauricio, right? You got Batty. You got Vientos. Those guys are probably all major leaguers, right? I'm going to say that Vientos could be a starter, right?
You got some young pitching down there, too, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I think the only ones of the three that came up is McLean's going to start on the rotation.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think the other two will either.
He needs work, but there's a couple of guys down there good. You got that Jet Williams guy. You know, this guy's coming, but you need to get a big bat in left field, a real good center fielder, and hopefully, like, they just give Beatty the third base job, and he can give you, you know, 30 homers and 80 RBIs with some nice glove, you know? Would be good, you know?
You know, the thing is run prevention. Run prevention. Yeah, you prevent runs, you have good pitching.
Good pitching prevents runs, but
defense and good pitching. Yeah. We lived through. Yeah, listen, we had great pitching and great defense.
You need a pen, and if they don't get Diaz, they're basically replacing Diaz with Williams, and that makes their pen get weaker, in my opinion.
Yep. But listen, we lived, me and you lived through it. They had great defense and great pitching. Yeah. Not enough offense, and that's why we didn't win.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Tommy Agee was great, but they had 1 year, he batted 215, you know?
Yes, I know.
Cleon Jones couldn't stay on the field. Don Condenning was old.
Look at the 1973 starting lineup. I think the leader in RBIs on that team was John Milner with like 77.
No, but Paul, a lot of those guys were hurt. That's why they were when they all came back is at the end of the year, and that's when they made their push.
They came back and they played great. Yeah. But I mean, their offense was weak. You know, they had Staub, Milner. Mm-hmm. Who else could hit?
Let me ask you, I'm going to just change a little bit because, you know, it's a little too early. You know, we all agree the Mets need pitching. We need another couple hitters now.
Pitching, center fielder, and a left fielder.
Yeah. If we lose Alonso,
Two starters.
If we lose Alonso, I think Vientos goes to first base. That's what I think.
If you lose Alonso and Diaz, it's really a kick in the balls. You got the most money in the world. Just pay your own guys.
Well, you know, this is also what happens when you give Soto the kind of money you gave him. It kind of hamstrings a little bit.
Paul, listen to me. Stearns don't want to give these long contracts.
I know, but Paul, listen to me. There's going to be a lockout next year. There's going to be a work stoppage. And who knows? Maybe there ends up being a salary cap. Who knows? We have no idea how it's going to end up. Maybe there's restrictions in 2 years where now you got to get... Maybe the Dodgers got to get rid of players because their payroll is too high. I don't know what the answer is going to be. But it's something to think about. All right, I'm going to move forward to the Hall of Fame. These are some of the guys, and you know, you tell me yes or no. Beltran.
Beltran, yes.
Andrew Jones.
No.
I disagree. Andrew Jones, one of the best defensive center fielders, hit 30 home runs a year for many, many years. I actually like him.
250 hitter.
Yeah, I get it. But he had power.
How many gold gloves?
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head, but he definitely won gold gloves. He was a great center fielder.
Did he win 10?
Do you remember him against the Mets? He played shallow center. He caught everything.
He won 10 gold gloves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who you think was a better offensive player, him or Keith Hernandez?
Completely different players. Keith is a line drive.
Keith Hernandez is still 300 hitter, really good offensive player, clutch hitter, whatever.
Yeah.
10 gold gloves, revolutionized first base. Mm-hmm. He ain't in. He ain't in because of his defense. I don't think Andrew Jones gets in just because of defense.
Okay.
Even though they put Ozzie Smith in for defense, you know. He was a horrible offensive player. And but he you're went losing, in strictly for defense. But I don't think you could do that with an outfielder.
Yeah, but you're losing the fact that he hit 30 home runs.
Yeah, he's home run. He hit some homers. Even 1 year he hit 50. But he wasn't I don't think he was good enough hitter. He's close, but I'm saying no.
434 home runs for his career.
He didn't hit 500.
No, that's not happening anymore either. But he had almost 1,300 RBIs. You know, it's just insane.
He's close, but I think he just misses.
Okay. You know what it was? It was injuries, too.
I think Beltran's better.
Oh, absolutely. Beltran's better.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you
who else is up?
These other guys are all the same, right?
Right.
A-Rod, Manny Ramirez, Andy Pettit. They all basically were accused of doing.
Pettit's close, you know.
Yeah. But I don't put them in because of the steroids.
I say no, too. No.
All right. King Felix.
What about Bernie Williams? Is Bernie Williams up?
I don't see him on here.
He's a pretty good player, Bernie Williams.
Yeah, but once again, he's not. I think he's off the list now. I don't think he made it.
Yeah. He was pretty good, though. He was clutch, too, that guy. Switch hitter.
Yeah. All right. What about King Felix?
What about Delgado?
Wait, well, I'm going to go in order. King Felix. He was Felix Hernandez. He was the.
How many wins did he get? Total.
Not a lot of wins, that's for sure. But he was
I think he was pretty dominant for a while, you know.
But he's another one. He won the Cy Young. I think he might have been 500 record.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about him.
He's a toss up too, man. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a toss up. I have to say, maybe not the first round, you know.
Okay. So, all right. How about Jimmy Rollins, Omar Vizquel, Dustin Pedroia? Three infielders that were very good, but I'm not going to blame
Jimmy Rollins was the best. I think Rollins is the better of them all. I think he would be the guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't put any of them in, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if one went in, it would be Rollins, I think.
David Wright.
He was on pace for it, but he's going to fall short too. I mean, he had five straight years with a 300 batting average and 100 RBIs, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, over 25 homers, you know? A couple of those years, he had 30, 32 homers. You know, he had a five-year stretch where he was real good, and then he started getting hurt. So I think he didn't play long enough. I think the injury cost him. If he didn't get injured, I would say definitely, but right now, no, he didn't do enough.
Well, all right, so that brings up a good point. How many years do you think you have to be great?
I think you got to be a dominant player 8 to 10 years.
Okay. So Sandy Koufax, you say, obviously everybody believes he's a Hall of Famer, one of the best pitchers of all time, right?
He had six good years.
He had five good years. A six-year was 14 wins, right?
Right.
But in a six-year period, he had five good years, three dominant years.
Right.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And so I think Mattingly should be in.
Mattingly should be in. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Mattingly had but David Wright had five good years. He didn't have five. Mattingly was batting 350, hitting 50 doubles, and he was a Gold Glove first baseman. And for an 8 year stretch, I'm saying about 8 years, he was the best player in baseball. You know?
Yeah.
And I think Mattingly's one guy that gets shortchanged, and this is coming from a Mets fan.
Okay.
And listen, Koufax, I argue with people all the time. I'm like, listen, the guy went in the Hall of Fame based on five good years. So, like, when some guys get injured, like a guy like Mattingly, I say, well, if you could put Koufax in for dominating for 5 years, you could put Mattingly in for dominating and then getting a back injury, you know?
You know, what's funny, Paul.
I agree with you about that.
What's really funny, I got to tell you, is I used to work with this guy. He's been on my podcast, Dave, and he was really into Sandy Koufax, right? And he's a younger guy, so he never actually saw him pitch, just that his father told him how good he was, right? And what I did was I pulled up charts and I said, here's two players. Which one do you think should be in the Hall of Fame? It was Pedro Martinez and Sandy Koufax. And he was like, he picked Pedro. And I'm like, that Sandy Koufax, you didn't pick Sandy Koufax. And he was like, devastated. He goes, how can that be? How can that be?
Right.
Because in the same period, Pedro was just as good.
Just as good. And doing it against steroid guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Pedro, I think, had a 10-year stretch where he was dominating.
I'm going to give you three more guys just real quick.
All right.
Chase Utley, Torrey Hunter, and K-Rod, you know, Francisco Rodriguez, the pitcher for the Mets.
Utley is not one of my favorite players, but I think he should go in. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best second basemen in baseball. You know, I think he was pretty good, man. Look at his stats. You know, I think Utley. Who else did you get? You got
Torrey Hunter.
No, he falls short. K-Rod, K-Rod, no, too. No on him, either, too. He had a bunch of saves, but you know. I think it was only about 4 years he was good.
Well, right. Yeah. So I'm looking at Utley right now. He had 4 years of 100 RBIs in a row. And then his fifth year, he had 93. I don't think he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
You don't think so?
Nope. I think if you're not putting in Andrew Jones and you're not putting in people because it's only has 5 years in a row that were really good.
If Jeff Kent ain't in, Utley shouldn't go in. If you compare him,
that's why I said he don't belong in.
Yeah, but I mean, Utley should go. I think Kent belongs, and I think Utley belongs.
Okay.
You know?
All right. There's a bunch of first timers. I'm not going to go into every one of them. Right. I don't think they're that good, to be honest with you. The one is Cole Hamels. Now, Cole Hamels was a dominant playoff pitcher and was very good during the regular season. I could see him next year, not this year.
Yeah, either next year or the Hall of Very Good. You know, like he's very close, but not a first time. Yeah, you're right. You know, maybe next year, maybe year after.
Right. Now, I got one more thing to bring up to you, and this is going to be funny. But I know we have this fight all the time about, you know, I'm like, you know, you talk about how much further they used to pitch in the 70s in the games, right? Did you know that the average start, now don't, you know, part of this is there's the number one, number two guys, right? And then you had number four guys, right? Because they didn't go to five until the Mets did it in 69. But in 1960, the average innings per start was 6.4. In 1980, it was 6.3.
Guys in that era, you look, I don't remember the 60s as much as I remember the 70s, but in the 70s, I'll give you five, six guys. Catfish Hunter, Seaver, Steve Carlton, Nolan Ryan, Jim Palmer. Oh, all 20 to 30 complete games a year.
Nolan Ryan had over 300 innings a couple years.
Yeah, but I'm saying these guys, these guys, everybody, even a number three starter had 10 complete games a year.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
a shocking stat.
Well, it gets worse now, right? Yeah. So now in 1980, it was 6.3. In 1999, it was 5.9.
Yeah. See?
Now, they go in, they do this stat, and it's called...
Because whoever came up with the 100 pitch count ruined baseball.
Yeah, that definitely... Because they're talking about Mark Burley making the Hall of Fame, right? And the thing is, he was good for many years and actually had 14 years that he pitched over 200 innings. Which I just thought... I didn't think he was a Hall of Fame pitcher, but, you know, based on these numbers...
Sometimes you got to look at guys' numbers, because if you just look at, like, see, to me, to go in the Hall of Fame, if you have to think about it, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
If you say, hey, you think Albert Pujols, yeah, he's in. Like, that's a Hall, you know what I mean? Like, if the guy is close and, you know, and you really got to think about it, I don't think he should be in. You know, if you got to think about it and you're not sure, I would go to no.
Okay.
I would go on the side of no.
All right. So now they have this stat, right? And it's called JAWS, right? And basically it takes into account a lot of different things, but mostly like injuries and it takes into I can't tell you everything about it, right? But it's called JAWS. You can look it up. Andy Pettit sits at number 82 in starting pitchers in the history of baseball. Sandy Koufax was, where is Sandy? I'm missing him now. This is a failure now because I can't find the information.
Out of the top 100 pitchers in all of baseball, Andy Pettit's 82?
That's based on this stat.
Oh, this JAWS stat.
This JAWS stat.
But I don't know what it means.
Yeah, I can't find it now because I took a picture off the computer before, and I don't have the article, so I can't do it. But I was going to get at was Koufax was 96, and Jacob DeGrom is 99. So, but anyway, Paul, I appreciate you coming on. You know, I think we'll talk again as we get closer to...
This might be the most we ever agreed in a long time.
I know.
Yeah. Well, that's because we're not talking about money. That's why.
Well, I've come to the point.
About free agents and lockouts and salary caps, that's where we disagree.
Yeah.
I think there should be a bottom cap instead of a south. Like a team like the Pirates, they should be told they got to spend more than 75
million. That's going to be part of it, Paul. You know that, right?
Well, they got to do that.
Some
of these teams... are not concerned with putting anything good on the field. They're just concerned with making a profit.
Well, I mean, they're in there to make money. I mean, they're not there to lose money.
Well, they'd rather make money than have a good team. That's the problem. You know, that's the problem.
I know we're going to talk about this more down the road. I'm telling you right now, I am predicting a lockout or...
Yeah, a lot of people are. And it's going to... I don't know, man. It's going to piss me off.
Well, here's the deal. It can't be sustained the way it is. It just can't.
Why? Why not?
What the Dodgers did, I know you don't have a problem with this.
It's a big deal. They won back-to-back
World
Series.
What the Dodgers did is not good for baseball.
Why not?
They deferred the whole contract of Ohtani.
Yankees did it for 20 years.
No. They deferred almost the whole contract of Ohtani.
So what?
So what? I mean, that enabled them to bring in Blake Snell. That enabled them to bring in Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah.
And that it's not good for baseball.
Well, other teams could do the same thing.
All right. But let's think about this. When all those contracts, now they got to pay them. What happens then?
They pay them.
Exactly. And then what happens? Do they have a shitty team then?
No, they just get new plays.
Oh, you see, yeah, it's because you don't care about the money.
If you got plenty of money, it doesn't matter. Just keep getting the plays.
All right, Paul. Well, I'm not gonna go there. I want to leave it where we're agreeing mostly. All right.
Listen, baseball sport is the most different teams win.
All right.
You go like basketball, football. They're more dominant than baseball. It's all different right. Teams win every year in baseball.
Paul, thank you very much. We'll definitely get together again, all right?
100%.
All right,
talk to you soon. I'll tell you the truth.